The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. After he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hard workers have more than enough to eat? But here am I dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hard workers.'" So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, he neared the house. He heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Brothers and sisters, the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning to everyone. Probably you're wondering who's this person in front of you right now. I am Father Kenneth Masong. I am a priest of the Diocese of Iva in Zambales in the Philippines. Yes, I'm a Filipino. And I was invited by the ordinary priests to preach the Lenten mission in all parishes of the Adorno Fathers here in South Carolina and likewise in New Jersey. So this is already my second church. I started in last weekend in New Jersey in Lodi. So I'm assigned as a vicar in a parish in Olongapo, in Subic, in St. Columban Parish. And at the same time, I'm also teaching in seminaries and also at a university, a Jesuit university in Manila. Most of the subjects I teach are philosophy subjects. One subject that I teach is philosophy of religion. Yes, it's an opportunity for us to reflect critically on the many beliefs of various religions. But at the beginning of the semester, I always ask my students in philosophy of religion, as their assignment, to write a one-page paper, reflection paper, on their personal credo. A list of things that they really deeply believe in life. And I would always remind them, don't write there, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, etc., etc., no? You know, really something very personal, something that you believe in deeply in yourself. Of course, some of them, they would write so many things, they would end up telling stories of their life, etc., etc. But there was this one submission that I will never forget. When I ended up reading his paper, the first thing that came to my mind was, the student did not bother to reflect deeply on their assignment. Why? Because this student submitted a one-page paper that is almost blank because it was just one line. What did he write? He wrote there, I believe in the God of tomorrows. So precisely because I thought that he never really bothered to think deeply about the assignment, and probably he totally forgot that there was an assignment, so he really wrote something and then submitted that paper. So I gave him a relatively low grade. But while I was checking the assignment of my other students, I said to myself, well, what if that was what he deeply believed in? Probably he doesn't have to write so many things. That one line suffices. And he really believes that the God he believes in is a God of tomorrows. That when you believe in God, there will always be tomorrow. There will always be new life. That this God that he believes in is a God of second chances. So after a while, I went back to his paper, changed his grade, and actually gave him a relatively high grade. No? And of all the many submissions in that particular assignment, that was the only paper that I can still remember. Partly because it's so short. No? And also because it was profoundly deep. And the very reason why I'm saying that is because the gospel reading, the readings that we have for today, speaks precisely of that. That the God that we believe in is a God of second chances. The God that we hold on to in life is a God who gives us another tomorrow. It is a God who tells us, yes, you may be blind, but I will give you the grace of sight for you to see the beauty of creation. Yes, you may have sinned like the prodigal son, but that's okay, because I will always be here waiting for you to welcome you. My dear friends, the fourth Sunday of Easter is called Laetare Sunday. And it's called Laetare Sunday because the Latin word laetare means to rejoice. And that's exactly the point that we have for today. That there is reason for us to find joy. That there is reason for us to rejoice. Because God heals us of our blindness. Because God will always welcome us, though we may have become prodigal children of the Father. My dear friends, as we reflect during this Lenten season, we realize that sometimes we end up becoming like the younger prodigal son, squandering all of our inheritance to a life of dissipation. Or if not, sometimes we end up becoming like the elder, self-righteous son of the Father too. The one who doesn't want to enter the house precisely because his younger brother, who spent all of his riches to a life of dissipation, has returned and even had the privilege of having the fattened calf slaughtered on his behalf to celebrate his homecoming. Yes, sometimes we fall either becoming the prodigal younger son, sometimes we are like the elder self-righteous brother. But the goal of the parable is this. We have a Father in heaven who welcomes both of us, both sons. And the challenge is for us to become like that father. Yes, that's the ideal of the parable, that we need to become like the father in the parable. And what does it mean to become like the father? You know, I'm really asking myself every time I reflect on this gospel passage, why did the father give to the younger son his share of his inheritance? He's still very much alive. He could have said, excuse me, this is my money. I worked hard for this, and I will only give it to you when I think you're ready to receive it. Didn't the father know that eventually all of this treasure, all of these riches will come to waste in the hands of the younger son? Probably he knew that also, but still the same, he decided to give it. Didn't the father love the younger son? Why did he allow him to leave the house and flee, journey to a distant country? Why did the father do that? It's precisely because the father himself loves his son. And yes, in a very true sense, though generally we call this parable the parable of the prodigal son, in a true sense, it was also about the parable of the prodigal father. Yes, the father himself was also prodigal. What does being prodigal mean? It came from the Latin word prodigus, which means lavish or wasteful. Yes, the son was prodigal. Why? Because he was spending all of his riches lavishly. It was a wasteful way of spending his inheritance. But you know, the father himself was also prodigal. He was lavish. In what sense? He was lavish in his love. And yes, he was wasteful of the treasure and riches that he has. My dear friends, as we try to imitate the love of the Father, I would like to call attention to three things, three characteristics of the Father that we encounter in our gospel reading for today, in the parable. The first one is this. The very reason why the father allowed his son to do what he ended up doing, it's because the father knew that the son will eventually return to him. Why? Because the father gave the son a reason to return to him. And what was that reason? The idea and the realization that whatever the younger prodigal son does, his father will still love him. As far as the love of the father is concerned, the father's love is so lavish. You don't have to do anything. If you do good things, I will love you. If you do bad things, I will still love you. And it's precisely because of that thing, no? The father already inculcated in the mind of the younger son, you know, my dear son, whatever you do in life, I will always love you. So if ever you become successful, you have reason to return to me because I will love you. And if ever you're not successful, you can still return to me because I will still love you. My love for you has no condition. My love for you is unconditional. And that's the reason why when the son, coming to his senses, realized that, you know, it's better for me to return to my father. Why? Because though I'm not worthy anymore to return to my father, I'm no longer worthy to be called the son, he will still love me, take care of me. You know, that's exactly also the reason, that's the challenge for us. We need to give the people that we love a reason to return to us. A reason to return to us, whatever happens in their life. The second thing here is this. Letting go does not mean giving up. The father, I'm very sure, had a hard time with the younger prodigal son. But the father did not give up on his younger prodigal son. Yes, he allowed the son, he let go of the son. But letting go is not giving up. What the father did was to give his younger son space. Space, so that the younger son can decide in freedom to return to him. And that's exactly what God does to us too. God allows us to wander sometimes in our life so that we can decide to return to him with full freedom. And that's how much God loves us. God will not force his love on us. He will let us go, not because God is giving up on us, but he wants us to have that space so that we can decide to return to him. That's the second point. The third point here is this. The father is also prodigal. He is wasteful with regards to his treasure. He knew that all of the money that he'll be giving to the younger son will be lost also. But still, for the father, that's okay. Because the father has many treasures, but he knows very well what his true treasure is. Yes, the father has many properties, the father has many money, but his true treasure is his son. That's why he doesn't care if all of the money inheritance that he gives to the younger son will all be lost to a life of dissipation, because the important thing is for the son to come to his senses and return to him. That's why he is more than willing to rejoice and spend more money, no, on the return of his younger son, because in his mind, the father knows that his true treasure is his son. My dear friends, that would also be very beautiful for us. We have many treasures in life, material things. We may have many money in our bank. But you see, all of these treasures, we can never bring to heaven. We can never bring them to the next life. It is true that when we are born in this world, we have nothing. But you see, in the next life, we can bring something. Not exactly the material things, but our true treasure. The people that we love and the people who loves us in return. So my dear friends, sometimes we end up becoming the younger prodigal son. Sometimes we end up becoming the self-righteous elder son. But we are called to become like the Father in heaven, who is also lavish and wasteful in his love for each and every one of us. He is the God of tomorrows. He is the God of second chances. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.